was an ignorant fool. So rather than it being the case that this White Lich is such an exceptional figure that he doesn't have to obey the known rules, and who is, in fact, capable of the exact opposite of what all experience has shown us to be true, isn't it more likely that you're wrong, and that he will shortly reach the end of his ability to command more Blighted? Nobody here seems to think so. The Tanarians know everything, do they? Haven't you always been the sort to scoff at local beliefs, then attempt to expose them as ridiculous superstitions while you uncover the real truth of the matter? You could be right, Dante said, calming himself. We're in a strange land that's virtually unknown outside of its own borders, and the only person we know here is somebody I've spent the last year alternately trying to kill and avoid being killed by. Meanwhile, the enemy we're contending with is like nothing I've ever seen before. Given all of the above, it's not easy to know what's true. We could be overestimating the White Lich. Ah, it's been so long since I heard the sweet tune of sense. I thought I'd never... However, the point remains that we are at least partly responsible for his release, and even if he's not capable of consuming the entire world, I've already watched him consume a Tanarian village. He'll cause far more death than that before he's done. We have to find a way to eliminate him, but we don't have the strength to do it ourselves. It might have slipped your mind, busy as you are, but you do rule an entire citadel full of some of the most highly trained priests and monks on the continent. I could dispatch some of them to you.
We'll do that, but it'll take months for them to arrive. Who knows how powerful the White Lich will be by then?
And we need to plan for the possibility, however remote you might think it is, that he is as dangerous as the Tanarians say. Preparing a defense against that is going to require more than a few months.
Have you considered diplomacy? Well, we and the White Lich have already tried to kill each other 3 times now, and he keeps trying to enslave me. But I'm sure we'll be able to hash out our differences over a nice pot of tea.
Not with him, you fool. Foolishly great leader. I was referring to our allies, and potential allies.
Like who?
Galador. They have a few sorcerers around, don't they? And they're exceedingly loyal, especially since you completed that tunnel for them into the Western Kingdoms.
Dante scratched the side of his jaw. They'll help us, but they can't afford to send much. Not with the Gascons itching to return them to the Empire's grip.
And the Cullen Basin? They are much closer, and it seems as though they should owe us something as much as Galador.
Unfortunately, they're too morally stunted to realize their obligations to us. Besides, as far as I know, they only have a single sorcerer in the whole place.
Malin stole away anyone else who showed the talent.
The Norren, then. They're loyal. Sort of.
No Nethermancers there, either. And I doubt their woodsmanship would be much use in these swamps. Still, a few of them might be useful to have around. Warn the rest that it might be a good idea to cut back on their feuding for a little while.
There's always Pocket Cove, Nack said. Although, after they got us into Wesley, they'd probably think that you owe them.
This might sound insane, but our best bet for an ally might be Malin.
Malin? You've been halfway at war with them since the Plagued Islands.
And their leadership has just been forcibly replaced by scheming foreigners. We could offer to help them restore order in exchange for their help putting down the White Lich.
Nack grew thoughtful. How exactly are you going to broker this alliance? It will take at least a month to get our envoys down there.
Rorschach and Sorowin are still in Bressel. They can start right away.
You want to unite two ancient enemies in battle, and you plan to do this using an acolyte and a thief as diplomats?
Rorschach's not a thief. She's an assassin. Given what Malin's up against, they might take her more seriously than some oil-haired dandy.
Wouldn't that be something? Malin and Narashtovic working together as friends. Do you think such an alliance could last?
We're too different for that. But better to have peace until the time when we remember to start hating each other again. I want you and the Council to come up with ideas to make this happen.
We shall convene at once.
Beyond organizing whatever aid we can muster, right now what we need most is information. Records of the White Lich, or anything like him. Hopefully we'll turn up something we can use to kill him. A quill scratched in the background.
Shall I dispatch a ship to the Hukali Islands?
Bearing gifts. I'm not sure their monks have the highest opinion of Narashtovic. Send your fastest rider to Pocket Cove, too. They were establishing themselves around the same time as the Aedan Rani. They might know something about him.
I could send a rider to Pocket Cove, but it seems to me that it might be faster to simply ask Min.
She's still there.
She was operating on the foolish assumption that you two would be back when you said you'd be.
Knack left to go fetch her, shutting down the loon connection so as not to drain the nether. 5 minutes later, the loon pulsed in Dante's ear.
Dante?
Min sounded slightly distant. The loon was bound to Knack, and she was likely standing next to him.
Have you ever heard of someone called the Aedan Rani?
Dante said.
The White Lich?
The what?
Do you realize you have the strangest conversations?
He's a person of sorts. A sorcerer who has supposedly been alive since about the same time your people founded Pocket Cove. I wondered if you knew anything about him.
No, but there's a lot at Pocket Cove that the elders keep to themselves. Is this serious?
Extremely. Can I convince you to go ask them for me?
Yes. Although, I feel like I ought to extract a concession from you in exchange.
Name it.
Grant us a title of some kind, Min said. It doesn't have to be proper nobility. I just want to be able to browbeat people when they get snotty with me.
Very well.
Dante swatted at a fly that wouldn't leave him alone. They were running out of Volo's anti-bug paste and had started to ration.
I hereby declare you and Blaze to be the fishmaster and fishmistress of Canal Street.
Isn't this the strangest thing?
It seems I just forgot where Pocket Cove is.
Okay, hang on. Make that the Honored Tribarons of the Sealed Citadel.
That's a lordly-sounding mouthful. I'll leave tomorrow morning. Oh, and one more request.
Yes, Min. Don't let Blaze get hurt.
I never do.
He gets wounded all the time,
and always comes home without so much as a scratch.
I wouldn't mind a scar or two.
Min laughed. Her footsteps retreated from the room.
Knack said, While I was off finding her, I was thinking about how odd it would be that the founding of Pocket Cove was taking place at the same time this lich of yours was first attempting to seize Tanaratane.
And how,
right before that, you had the Roshan and Elson locked in a deathly struggle for Narashtovic that resulted in the finding of Selen, the raising of the Wodens, and all of that business.
What was in the air back then that so much was happening in such a short period?
Greatness doesn't emerge from a vacuum. It inspires itself in others.
Dante smacked the back of his leg, which had been brushed by what he hoped was a sprig of grass.
Or maybe it's about being challenged. The Nethermancers of Narashtovic have learned more in the last dozen years of strife than in the 2 centuries before that. Now think about all the troubles they were going through 1,000 years ago.
That would explain why they seem to have known so much more than we do.
Yet, how was all of that lost?
I suppose they finally ran into a challenge they couldn't overcome. They both fell quiet. Before they could stare too deeply into the abyss, Nak brightened.
I'd better get to it then. As they say, the only cure for hard times is hard work.
Get a team to check the archives, too, and summon the council. Tell them everything I've told you, and that I need all the ideas I can get.
He closed the connection. Twilight had fallen, casting the swamp into surreal shades of purple and steel. The voices of the others drifted from the camp. Dante had no new answers, but speaking with Nak had cleared his mind. If nothing else, the outside world would soon be aware of the darkness spreading across Tanara Tain. And the great gears of Narashtovic were rolling into action, priests gathering to share counsel, monks paging through the stacks in search of lost secrets, riders spilling forth from the gates to seek the wisdom of other lands. It was almost enough to make him forget that all this activity was happening over 1,200 miles away. Before he could lose his motivation, Dante pulsed Sorowan's loon. He wasn't certain the boy would answer. Before, the acolyte had kept the loon hidden away, only wearing it for prearranged talks. But Sorowan answered immediately.
Lord Galand?
The boy's voice pitched up.
We haven't heard from you in days. We thought you were dead.
No, Dante said, and was right about to begin to explain when he realized he had no energy to go through it all again. Fortunately, Sorowan was of grossly inferior stature, and Dante owed him no explanation whatsoever.
We've run into difficulties. They're ongoing. But I have news for you. That new fleet Malin built, it wasn't to invade the Colin Basin. They're using it to transfer Tanarians into Bressel.
Ah, right. Why?
It's related to the difficulties here. The extremely condensed version is that it turns out Gladik, as evil as he is, was here to destroy something even more evil. Being ignorant of this, when we tried to enact justice for his crimes, we ended up stopping him from destroying the thing that's much worse than he is. And now things are so terrible that the Emperor decided to move everyone he likes to Malin instead.
That explains the riots, and the priests turning on each other, and all the warring. The city's in complete anarchy.
But it hasn't fallen to the insurrection yet.
No, but I would say it's about to.
How can you be sure?
Sorowan said. Well, for one thing, the king's dead. King Charles? Wasn't that the name of the King of Malin?
Yes. You grew up in Bressel.
Yeah, then it was definitely King Charles. That was a few days ago. The Pikes of Faith, that's what the rebels call themselves, have taken more and more of the city ever since.
They're going to take control of the entire thing once the Emperor brings back his first fleet load of Tanarians. If you and Rorschach haven't already figured this out, you guys don't have to worry about Malin invading the Colin Basin anymore. They've got way too much on their hands for that. But I've got a new job for you. After the Drakebane takes command of Bressel, there's going to be a resistance movement. I need you and Rorschach to join it.
The loon picked up the sound of Sorowin scuffing his shoe in the dirt. But
Didn't you just say the resistance is about to lose?
Yes, so if I'd asked you to fight in it or take charge of it, you might have something to worry about. Which makes it a good thing that I'm merely telling you to join its fringes and see if you can identify its leaders.
What if Rasha says no?
Dante swore, abruptly certain that she would.
It was most inconvenient to need things from people who weren't required to follow your orders.
Tell her there's no time to negotiate now, but that she'll be paid fairly. Sorrowin sighed.
She's going to yell at me, but I'll do my best.
See that you do. As Dante reached to tap the loon, he stopped his hand.
One last thing. If at any time you haven't heard from me in a week or more, pack up your things and return to Narashtovik, and tell Rorschach she has no further obligations to the Citadel.
You think you might... Do you understand me?
Yes, Lord.
Good. Keep yourself safe.
Dante closed down the loon. Stars reflected from the dark water. After staring at them for a minute, Dante turned and rejoined the others. Everyone but Gladik was asleep, or at least attempting to be. They'd lost nearly all of their gear when the canoe was destroyed, however, leaving them without blankets or coverings of any kind other than the clothes on their backs. They didn't have much food, either. Would have to do something about that. Such details seemed very tedious, but Dante supposed that tending to them would give them something to do until they came to terms with the idea that they'd blown their only shot. While the others slept, Gladig sat apart from them, back turned as he scratched something out onto a palimpsest. Now that they weren't actively pursuing the White Lich, the old man's presence felt different. It would be exceedingly easy to draw a sword and put it through his back. Gladik looked up from his work, glancing over his shoulder. Dante turned away and started tamping down the grass to make his bed. He supposed they should set watch. Then again, if the Aedan Rane came for them that night, what would it matter?
There was something disproportionately uncomfortable about sleeping without any form of blanket, and Dante found himself waking time after time, tickled by the grass or the tiny legs of what he fervently hoped weren't spiders. He got up for good at the first graying of the east, happy to be out of the grass, even though he was still completely exhausted. When Blaze got up a while later, he took one look at Dante and laughed.
You look like you've been blighted.
Good. I won't feel guilty when I eat your limbs for sustenance.
How much do you have left to eat?
Just what I had in my pack.
Split it with me. I don't have anything.
That's because you ate all yours last night.
Look, I'm the one doing you a favor. Either you can share part of it with me, or I'll steal all of it for myself.
Dante reached for his bag.
You think so?
Yes, I... Blaze vanished into the shadows, rematerialized at Dante's back.
Do.
Concluding that the only way to end this torment was to comply, Dante split the rest of his nuts and dried fish. It wasn't enough for either of them, and they made a quick pass of the island, turning up a few more of the purple berries they'd eaten the day before. Dante was almost sure they were the same kind anyway, but being generally not a fan of the type of diarrhea that often accompanied the consumption of the wrong type of berries, he double-checked with Volo, who confirmed they were edible. She eyed her share.
Isn't much to fill you up, though.
Well, no, Blaze said. But if we plant them in the ground
and water them, and care for them for several years, then it won't matter how few of them we had to begin with, as we'll all have starved to death.
Dante motioned into the trees. We need to find a village, or a city, if there are any of those nearby.
What about the whole invincible lich and his undead army thing?
We'll go back to ruminating on our utter failure after we've secured the basic necessities of life.
Volo pinched her upper lip.
Halo Vey isn't far, but it's back toward the Aedin Rani.
Get us there. I'll make sure that we're not seen.
He knocked down a pair of dragonflies, which he'd found to be the fastest and stoutest of the available insects, and sent them whirring ahead.
The five of them piled into the canoe, discovering that the one upside to having no supplies was that meant you had nothing you needed to pack.
The day was the warmest yet, and the paddlers were all soon sweating. Blaze and Volo chatted some, but Naren hardly said a word, and Gladdick spent the time looking like he was trying to remember how to perform advanced mathematics. It was mid-morning, and everyone's stomach was growling by the time the dragonflies broke into the village clearing.
"The village is there," Dante reported. "The people who live there are not."
Blaze winced.
"Blighted. I'm not seeing any remains, or bloodstains. If the lich blighted this place, his first order to his new servants was to scrub it spotless."
The canoe entered the wide clearing that held the village. No smoke rose from the communal ovens and grills. No people tended the stands of banana trees or the tuber paddies. Blaze stopped paddling.
"How many more villages are we going to see like this?"
"It wears at the soul," Naren said.
Volo ducked her head, surveying the silent fields and empty houseboats.
"If you see enough of it, that wears your soul down to nothing, right? And you can't go on any more. Does that mean there's a limit to how much good any of us can do before we give up?"
Gladdick shifted on his bench. "Is that what happened to the gods?"
"Ah!"
Blaze pointed at one of the stands of trees at the edge of the village.
"Bananas!"
A large bunch hung from the crown of one of the trees. Most of the fruits were still green, but a few near the end were yellow, and those at the very end had fallen to the ground, the peels browned and splitting. The uncollected fruit drove home the desolation even more than the abandoned homes.
Volo altered course toward the small square island, bringing them onto the soft dirt of its fringe. Blaze hopped out, drew his sword, and hacked through the trunk. Rather than being hardwood, these were made of a dense and fibrous pulp closer in consistency to a giant stalk of celery, and yielded easily to steel, the tree splashing down in the water. With a flick of his wrist, Blaze severed the banana bunch from its thick green stalk. He wiped down his sword and hefted the bunch, trying to avoid the absurdly sticky white sap that gushed from where it had been cut. As if by mutual decision, they each ate two of the fruit to quell the rumbling in their stomachs, dropping the peels into the water. They stashed the green ones in the back of the canoe. Volo directed them to the gates and the nets surrounding the village proper.
"They're wide open!"
Her jaw dropped in horror and affront.
"That's a beating for sure!"
A shadow passed over Dante. They didn't bother to close it because they knew they weren't coming back.
They docked on the long pier, bisecting the net-enclosed water. Dante entered the nearest of the raft-mounted shacks. Only a bit of dirt lay on the floor, suggesting that, as with the bananas, the villagers had left within the last few days. Feeling mildly guilty, Dante made his way through the household's possessions, collecting spoons carved from bone. In the swamps, even tin was too precious to waste on cutlery, and some bottled foodstuffs. In contrast to the spoons, glassware was so common in Tanaritain that even village peasant farmers kept their pickles and preserves in coloured glass containers that would have sold for good money in any northern market. To conserve what little space they had, the beds were framed with a lightweight plant similar to wicker or bamboo and slung against the walls, where they could be secured upright when not in use. The raft's beds had been left down, the blankets rumpled. Dante lifted one and sniffed it. It smelled like another person, but not especially unpleasant. Even so, the idea of using a stranger's bedding, and likely a dead stranger at that, struck him as more objectionable than sleeping in the grass. After considering it for a moment, he called forth a wave of nether to beat at the blanket. When he lifted it, no vermin fell from it, yet he felt mollified nonetheless. They picked through a few more houses, replenishing their lost equipment, then gathered in the shade of a vine-coloured trellis that ran down a third of the dock. While the others had been salvaging, Volo had used a fishing line and net to bring in a few fish. They lit one of the communal grills to heat the fish, leaving the skin on, then sat down for a proper meal, laying the meat on banana leaves, and accompanying it with various pickled vegetables Dante had never seen before. "Well," Blaze said, as the meal wound down. He leaned back and planted his palms on the dock. "We've robbed our way back to competence. Do we have a new plan? Or is it time to try out the life of the vagabond?" Dante used a fishbone to pick a shred of onion from his teeth. "I spoke with Knack. He's making arrangements to send us a team of nethermancers, but it'll take 2 months before they're here." "Too long." Gladick nodded to the empty village. "By then, the Aedan Rane will have an army."
"You guys know his weakness," Vola said. "Why don't you go and kill the prime body?"
"Because he'd slaughter us." Dante flicked the fishbone into the water. "There's no way to get close to him without him knowing about it." Blaze pressed his fist to his mouth and belched under his breath.
"What if we got everyone to evacuate the country? Without fresh blood, the Lich won't be able to make more blighted, or swell his own power any further."
"How does that beat him? Do you suppose he'll die of loneliness?"
"I suppose that it will cause him to stagnate, buying us time for our friends to arrive, at which point the smiting happens."
"Where do we evacuate tens of thousands of people to? A big mass on the coast, where the Lich can kill them all at once?"
"That's one option. But how about anywhere that isn't here?"
"They won't have any homes. No food, either."
"If they stay here, they're going to become food.
By the time we sail around to even half the villages, he'll have taken the other half. Besides, most people won't go, because some of them will be idiots about it, and some of those who wouldn't typically be idiots about it are even bigger idiots who support the righteous monsoon, which thinks the Aedan Rane is going to lead them to freedom."
"It won't work."
Blaze scowled.
"It'll save a whole bunch of people. I'd call that working.
It would only save them temporarily while taking up all our time that we could be using to save them permanently." Dante tapped his fingers on his knee.
"Maybe the best thing to do is hang back.
Watch him closely, and see if he makes any mistakes that we can pounce on. Gladick, what do you think he'll do from here?"
The old priest
gazed blankly into the rows of empty boats.
He has lived and planned for too long to make basic mistakes. He will continue to pass from settlement to settlement, absorbing them to himself. Once he and his legions are of sufficient size, he will bring them to bear against a city. There, his power will be doubled in one blow.
That wasn't at all what I wanted to hear. Blaze got to his feet and paced across the dock.
Figure out which city he'll hit and fortify the hell out of it. Set up traps to separate him from the prime body. Urban warfare is always a nightmare. It'll be a wonder if it doesn't open up a shot at his weakness.
Not bad, Dante said. But it's very contingent. And if we prepare well enough to actually take him down, it's likely he'll hit somewhere else instead.
He blinked in thought and turned to Gladick.
You and the Drakebane had a plan to kill him in a straight-up fight. Why wouldn't the same thing work now?
Gladick gestured in simple dismissal.
The Aedan Rane was at his weakest, then. Even if we had the same force right now, it wouldn't be enough.
It wouldn't be the same force. It would include me and Blaze. And we wouldn't be attacking the White Lich. We'd be ignoring him while we put an end to the prime body.
Gladick raised his white eyebrows, but his interest died the next moment.
Our attack relied on the Knights of the Odosein suppressing the Lich's sorcery. Without them, we stand no chance in direct battle. Let me guess. There aren't any of them left. Most died fighting the Lich or the rebels. Those that survived left with the Drakebane. They would never desert him.
Ah. Shit, then.
Indeed. This is the first time I have felt hope since the prime body fled from us.
We should take this idea to the Drakebane, Naren said. If it's that sound, it should convince him to return with his knights.
Impossible. The Odosein are key to his ability to hold on to Bressel. He would not risk losing them.
Gladick smiled darkly.
Besides which, the Drakebane fears the Aedan Rane worse than death itself. He agreed to the assault at the Wound of the World because he believed it was his last chance to save his nation. It is clear that he believes this land has passed beyond saving.
Dante folded his arms. We have nothing to lose by trying. I have agents in Bressel. I'll have them speak to the Drakebane.
And when they fail, what then do we do?
I don't know. See about Blaze's plan to fortify a city. Or maybe we can see if Volo can infiltrate the monsoon. If she's willing, we may be able to feed them fake information to try to lure the Lich into a trap.
Gladick said nothing. Somehow, this was worse than any spoken criticism.
Dante stood.
We'll make for the nearest city. We need to start recruiting the Tenarians to our cause.
Hang on, Blaze said. Gladick, you said that every Odosein is dead or gone. Where did they come from in the first place?
Gladick lifted his bony shoulders.
Their powers are a great secret. Anyone who shared such information, especially with worthless Hari foreigners, would be skinned from the waist down, tied to the back of a canoe so that the legs and genitals dangled in the water, and then sailed about until the swamp took its course.
They seriously do that? Or is that what you would do?
It is a punishment reserved only for crimes that could undo the Empire itself. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned beheadings?
In any event, the Odorsain don't fall out of the womb dressed in dragon scale and waving their magic swords about, do they? Don't they need training of some kind? They have an academy.
Gladik rocked back his head.
You wonder if there might be any trainees there.
The Drakebane lit out of here like he was being chased by a 1,000-year-old madman, right? What are the chances he swung by the academy to pick up all the knightlings on his way out?
There may be some with the skill to help us, but it can't be done. I don't know where the academy is.
Blaze motioned to Volo.
You seem to know the location of every drop of water in this swamp. You know where this academy might be?
I didn't even know there was an academy, Volo said. The stories I heard were that the knights were immortal servants, like zombies, but people.
I don't suppose it's a great use of our time to comb the swamp for something we have no idea what it looks like. For the record, though, I think this was a pretty great idea.
Gladik lowered his chin. He had that faraway look on his face again.
I don't know where the academy is, but I know someone who does.
Dante spread his palms in a shrug.
So what? I thought they wouldn't tell a foreigner anything about that, on pain of having their balls eaten by Zeki Oko.
Those were the old rules. With the coming of the Aiden Rane, my source may be made to see reason.
After a quick and fruitless sweep for survivors in the village of Halo Vey, they struck out for Dar Abod. According to Gladik, his source, an official named Fade Alu, lived there. Or had, at least, prior to events like the Righteous Monsoon's Rebellion that had seized the capital, and the release of the White Lich, and the fleeing of the Drakebane to Bressel, along with his soldiers' cabinet and thousands of others. A lot had changed, in other words, and as they carried on southward, moving back toward Tanara Tain's particular version of civilization, Dante worried that they'd wind up wasting their time searching for a man who was no longer there. Then again, it was the best plan they had, and at least it would be much easier to get in and out of the cities than back when Dante had been trying to hide his skills from Volo. During the day, they passed two other settlements. Both times, they diverted to approach the people there and warned them what was happening further north. The villagers looked back and saw three wretched foreigners in the company of a Tenarian girl who barely looked old enough to own her own boat. Yet their scorn fell apart like damp bread when Volo challenged them to send a scout to Halo Vey and see for themselves. As they paddled away from the second village, Blaze turned about to watch them send a boatsman out past the nets.
Ah, good. They're actually sending someone. Finding all their friends dead will teach them to insult our credibility.
Well, it will, Dante said, along with the side benefit of possibly saving their lives.
This feels like madness. The Drakebane's gone, and the monsoon wants to feed these people to the Lich. There's no one to protect them. They'll be slaughtered.
And we're doing the only thing we can to stop it. Blaze shook his head.
I know, but I wish we could do more.
As the day wound down, Dante's dragonfly spotted a double-hulled war canoe patrolling their way. Until quite recently, the swamp's routes had been held down by the Drakebane's soldiers, but this ship flew the colors of the monsoon. Volo turned hard to port, detouring for half a mile before continuing to the south. With dusk coming on, they paddled a few hundred yards away from the watery thoroughfare to put in at another island for the night. They ate and made camp.
It was starting to sprinkle, so they strung up an oiled canvas tarp they'd taken from Halo Bay. Once this was up, rather than moving under it, Gladick continued to sit in the rain, letting the droplets flatten his white hair to his head. For some reason, his refusal to get up and move to the shelter not 10 feet away annoyed Dante worse than a horsefly. When he couldn't take it any more, Dante got up and stood over the old man.
"I don't know if you've noticed, but we've just now invented a way to keep the rain off our heads. I think we'll call it a rain beater."
Gladick didn't bother to look his way.
"Have you come to the realization yet? That it's annoying to be asked vague questions?" "The Aiden Rane points to a single conclusion. That in the end, we cannot win."
"Sure we can. I'd bet you 3 tons of silver that you used to think you could never be beaten either." Even this didn't provoke so much as a glare.
"Even if we are able to slay the Lich and disperse all remnants of what might be called his soul, eventually, a power like him will arise again, and again. Someday, that power will not be defeated, and all of the world will fall."
"You have no way to know that. As far as we know, he's the only one who's ever figured this out. Which is supported by the fact that nobody's been able to replicate his work in the last 1,000 years.
People always seek power. Over each other, and over death. Do not tell me that you have not pursued immortality yourself."
Dante crossed his arms.
"And I failed quite spectacularly to find it. I certainly have no idea how to turn everyone on Earth into my undead slaves. You don't want to believe this because it hurts to do so. Then turn away from the pain if it is too much for you. Even if you're right, and it's inevitable that one day a great sorcerer is going to destroy everything, what does it matter? Each one of us knows we're going to die someday, but that doesn't mean life isn't worth living. Perhaps someday the world will end. Until that day comes, people will keep loving and fighting and being afraid and finding the courage to go on. We can't save the world forever, but we can save it for now."
At last, Gladick glanced at him, briefly and sidelong.
"Is it true that you have seen the afterlife?"
"Where'd you hear that?"
"From one of the many people I sent to spy on you."
Dante pressed his knuckles to his mouth. He still wasn't sure how to treat the matter of revealing his knowledge to the priest. Assuming they did go on to eliminate the White Lich, they still had to deal with Gladick, didn't they? However much good the priest did here, it wouldn't undo the murder of Captain Twill, to say nothing of the thousands of lives lost in the plagued islands, and at Colin. There would be a reckoning. When it came, Dante didn't want Gladick to know all of his tricks. At the same time, there was zero guarantee that they would win. The best way to increase their chances was to pool knowledge and work together without reservations. Countless lives depended on it. The calculus was ugly, but it was clear.
"Yes," Dante said. "I've been there. So has Blaze." "Is it like they say it is? Like we say it is?"
He laughed out loud.
"Not in the slightest." "I thought not. Will you tell me the truth of what awaits us?"
"It isn't a singular place. In fact, it's 3. The first is known as the past lands. Usually it takes the form of a good memory, or something you've always wished for. When you're there, you don't know you're dead, or that anything's wrong. You just repeat the same things, over and over. And to you, there's nothing wrong with that, because it's what you've always wanted. Except that the pastlands is a trap. It doesn't want you to leave.
Gladick furrowed his brow.
Why? Hell if I know. Maybe the landlords get to charge ourselves rent.
Or maybe the gods meant this as a reward. Live out your dream in perfect peace, over and over, until the day you finally get disillusioned of it. Whatever the case, once you find your way out of the past lands, you reach the mists. It's both everyday and idyllic. Your normal life, but without violence or death. If I had to guess, it's a way to live out anything you missed before you died, leaving you without regret, and to make peace with the fact that it's over.
That does not sound unpleasant.
It isn't.
But after a while, everyone moves on. Into the world, see.
I never saw it. Only the dead can go there. My understanding is that when you cross over, you become a part of everyone that ever was, and drift as one forever. The old man considered this, then gave Dante a piercing look.
Then there is a way we can escape his power. We can die, and enter a world that will be forever beyond him.
While you are technically correct, I feel as though that would defeat the purpose here.
Perhaps.
Gladick lifted his left hand to the side of his head and closed his eyes. Ether sparked from his fingers toward his temple.
Dante shouted out and grabbed for a chunk of nether. He clubbed it into the light, dispersing them both.
What the hell are you doing?
What does it look like? I am thwarting the lich.
More light beamed from Gladick's hand. Better prepared, Dante thrust at it with a dagger of shadows. He grabbed for Gladick's hand.
Stop that! You can't just fry your own head off!
The others had rushed from beneath the tarp to watch from 10 feet away. Gladick flapped his hand at Dante.
You are welcome to join me. It will solve everything. Or you can waste your days hovering over me like an overbearing mother until the lich has won his prize, and you have done nothing to stop him.
Dante ground his teeth together, keeping the nether tight and pacing in front of Gladick.
If there was no white lich to worry about, and you found a way to live for as long as you liked, how long would you stick around?
What manner of question is that?
You can find out by answering it.
Gladick snorted.
No less than centuries. Perhaps as much as forever. There is always more to see, and if you traveled across the world, by the time you returned home, you would find that it was now a new place, and so was everywhere else that you had once visited.
Right, which is decidedly untrue of the mists. First of all, from what I can tell, you are confined to a relatively small portion of them, either the land you died or where you consider home. I'm not sure. I didn't really die, so I might not have been subject to the same rules. All I know is that you don't get to travel wherever you please. If you died now, you might find yourself stuck in the misty equivalent of Bressel, unable to leave the city. Or you could be trapped right here in the afterlife's version of this fetid swamp. Second, as it turns out, most people don't stay in the mists for more than a couple hundred years, and a lot leave within a single lifetime, or even a handful of years. There isn't the sense of danger that we have here, the urgency.
Here, you have to get things right. There, it doesn't matter. There's no striving to better yourself, no history to participate in. The mists are boring, you fool. That's why everyone moves on, usually sooner rather than later, to pass into the world sea. And then, whatever you are ceases to exist.
Gladick stared at Dante for a moment, then lowered his hand from his head to his lap.
That is why they lie to us about the afterlife. Because if we knew the truth, we would not be afraid to do wrong. Not when there are no punishments or repercussions. We would be free to do anything.
Sensing the drama was over, the others quit watching and moved back under the tarp. Dante soon joined them. Gladick sat alone in the rain for a while yet, then crawled beneath the shelter. In the morning, they struck out as soon as it was light enough to see whether there were any swamp dragons in their path. Volo told them it would take 2 days to reach Darabode. Crossing under the boughs, with the morning sun poking through in yellow fingers, Dante wondered what the Aedan Rane was up to, then realized he didn't have to wonder. The Lich would be ensuring no harm could come to the prime body. And once that was done, he would be traveling from village to village, absorbing the people there into himself. Blaze stifled a yawn.
Say, Volo, considering that you are the only right and honorable Tenarian among us, and that the rest of us are a bunch of filthy Hari, you think we'll have any problems getting into the city?
She shook her head, a dark ponytail sweeping her shoulders.
Nah. By law, any settlement has to let the people who do my work inside. Even the capital.
That was the law under the Drakebane. But that revolution you were part of is calling the shots now.
I don't think even the monsoon would be that heretical.
Dante was less convinced, but supposed they'd be in a better position to find out once they were upon the city. And they were still dressed in monsoon jabards, which might make things a little easier. He spent most of the morning in thought. As noon neared, he turned to Gladick.
That thing the Lesser Lich was doing, throwing his blood at us. Have you ever seen something like that before?
Gladick gave a quick jerk of his chin.
You neither. Never even heard of such a thing.
Did it seem to you that he was amplifying his powers?
More that he may have been expending somewhat less energy than typically necessary to achieve such results.
Which might be a way of saying the same thing. He was just flicking his blood around. Any ideas as to why that would work? The priest narrowed his eyes, deepening his crow's feet.
Blood attracts Netha. You yourself employ it to magnify the shadow's strength. Yet you do so in a passive way. Perhaps a more active use results in more active Netha.
Plausible.
What are your thoughts?
This time, Dante only hesitated a moment before deciding to reveal them.
Along similar lines.
But I don't think it's as simple as just flinging your blood around.
If it was, somebody else would have figured it out a hell of a long time ago. Whereas, what the Lesser Lich did had the whiff of a lost art, or one he had developed over centuries of isolation.
Exactly. We already know certain skills have been lost to time. It isn't hard to believe there's been others.
Dante drummed his fingers against the gunwale. Who was that guy, anyway?
A sorcerer, right?
The only other possibility would seem to be an unusually talented dancer.
So when the White Lich turns you, he doesn't have to turn you into a blighted. You can keep your powers, your personality.
Gladick shrugged.
If he was able to turn himself into the Aedan Rane, why would he be incapable of replicating the effect in others, if only to a lesser degree?
How much independence do they have?
I have gathered a selection of stories on this matter. They agree that, while the Lich's lieutenants are able to think and act of their own will, ultimately they are each bound to the Aedan Rane's commands to such extent that thoughts of treason would be inconceivable to them.
This sounds like bad news. If we send sorcerers against him, can he turn them against us?
If they choose to join him, absolutely. But if they are unwilling, I am not sure.
Gladick toyed with a loose thread on his jabat.
Would you like to know why I collected these stories of the lesser liches?
I don't know. So you stood less chance of getting murdered by them?
I was considering whether it would be better to join him or to be destroyed.
And you chose to be destroyed?
Indeed. I thought it would please Tame.
Gladick's shoulders jerked. He broke into laughter, its peals drowning out the buzz of the insects. Deciding that the canoe was perhaps not the appropriate venue for sloppy bloodshed, Dante waited to begin his experiments until they made landfall for the night. As usual, they camped near the center of the island to hide themselves from passing boats, so Dante padded towards the north shore. There, he produced his knife and cut the tips of his ring fingers enough to bleed steadily. Cutting his fingertips took a much more concerted mustering of willpower than the back of his arm, but he promised himself that he would heal the damage soon enough. He was too self-conscious to do any twirling about. Blaze would never let him live it down. So he contented himself with flicking his wrists like whips, snapping beads of blood from his fingers. The nether darted after it, as quick and hungry as Ziki Oko. But not in any way that looked noticeably different from when it came to a cut on his arm. Still, was it more effective? How could he even measure such a thing? He crouched over the ground, drew a small portion of nether to his palm, and frowned. He got up, meaning to go back to camp and fetch a spoon, then spied a nutshell on the ground. One half had cracked, and the meat inside had been eaten by fungus. He scooped out the remains and removed the cracked side, leaving him with an intact half. He summoned the nether again, filling the nutshell to the brim. Once he was satisfied the surface was level, he brushed aside the leaves from a patch of bare ground and sent the shadows into the earth, softening the soil and drawing it aside until the nether ran out. The resulting depression was roughly a cubic foot in size. Dante filled the nutshell again, ensuring it was to the same level as before, then snapped his right hand at the ground. At the same time, he commanded the nether toward the falling specks of blood. The shadows swirled violently as they plunged into the ground. Again, he used every drop to soften and remove the dirt. The second hole looked no bigger nor smaller than the first. He measured them using his hands and found they were the same size, or at least close enough that he couldn't tell the difference. Cursing under his breath, he repeated the experiment just to make sure nothing funny had happened, but the results were the same. It was possible, however, that the blood flicking, he made a mental note to come up with a more impressive name in the event he discovered how to harness its power, simply didn't apply to earth moving. The Lesser Lich had used it on offense and defense. He searched about for and found a smaller nutshell and filled it with nether, shaping this into a small